This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's my pleasure to bring you once again one of our favorite point-and-shoot experts. He's the go-to guy on a wide variety of health concerns. He's Dr. Ross Pelton. He's a registered pharmacist. He's a certified clinical nutritionist, health educator, and scientific advisor for Essential Formulas, Inc. He was named as one of the top 50 most influential pharmacists in the United States by American Druggist magazine for his work in natural medicine. He's authored numerous books, and he teaches continuing education programs for healthcare professionals. So he is well equipped to field our questions. And the subject today is, it's a toxic world out there. And in spite of the fact that this is, the 30th anniversary of Earth Day. No, wait a minute. 1970. Okay, 1970 was when it was first initiated, when we were wee youngins. And so, Ross, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Ron. It's always nice to be with you and your Intelligent Medicine audience.
Indeed, indeed. So, Earth Day, you know, that kind of like takes us back to 1970. Earth shoes, tie-dyed t-shirts, Woodstock,
You remember all those things.
The Who, Led Zeppelin, Clash, it's kind of a retro thing, but here we are in 2019. We're still talking about the same things. We also have issued an Earth countdown for, I believe it is 2030, when we will all be in oblivion. Whether you believe that or not, the environment is in trouble. And so, I want you to comment first on, and I'm sure you've seen this because you really cover this beat, the environmental health beat. New information about glyphosate lawsuits, of course, going through the roof. But now there's evidence that glyphosate may have a generational effect. Have you seen some of that research? That seems to be, all the rage these days.
Yes, it's a very serious issue. I personally think glyphosate is possibly the biggest sin against humanity in the history of the world. It's not only causing health problems in humans, it's destroying the microbiome and the planet and having a severe effect on animals. And you're right, it has multi-generational effects. So it affects one generation and the offspring, and the next generation of offspring are also experiencing negative health effects. So this is a very, very serious issue.
And it seems that there's this new mechanism for generational toxicity, is that we used to think that if something didn't cause a mutation, like radiation causes mutations, and then those mutations can be passed on. There are little tweaks that happen to our genes, epigenetic tweaks. Maybe they have to do with methylation or other ways that genes get modified. But that has a lasting effect, and not just for one generation, but perhaps three or four or more generations down the line, right?
Yes, it's these epigenetic changes. So you're not actually changing the genome, but you're changing how the genome gets expressed, mm-hmm. and that can have generational effects.
Wow. Okay. Well, so the sins of the fathers, it's, as the Bible says, are visited on the sons and daughters for I think the Bible says four generations, something along those lines. So they nailed it.
Well, and you mentioned lawsuits. There's now over 11,000 glyphosate-related lawsuits. And recently in California, there was a high-profile case where an individual was awarded $289 million to a school groundskeeper who claimed that glyphosate was related to his cancer. So this is a big, big issue. A lot of people are being hurt.
Indeed. And, you know, ironically, Monsanto was a recent acquisition by Bayer, the makers of headache medication, and I think they've inherited quite a headache.
Yes, it's now been taken over by Bayer, but it's the same level of problem and toxicity for humans and animals and the environment.
So, you know, beyond glyphosate, can you kind of define the scope of the problem for us? I mean, where do we see these potential insults?
Well, the United States manufactures over 70,000 different chemicals every year, and roughly only about 1,500 have been studied for toxicity. And they're not doing studies on what happens when an individual or an animal gets multiple toxins in their body at the same time. Mm-hmm. So this is a situation that is just causing untold amounts of harm. And the result of it is that we have this epidemic of chronic degenerative diseases, which were virtually non-existent a couple of hundred years ago. So the increasing toxicity is having an effect not only on the environment, but on our human immune system, and specifically things like glutathione, which is the master antioxidant and the regulator of your detoxification. And the more toxins you get exposed to, the faster you deplete your glutathione levels, your immune system gets weakened, you build up more body burden of toxins, and on it goes.
So glyphosate is a weed killer. What goes hand in hand with glyphosate, what enables glyphosate, are GMO crops. Crops that are so-called Roundup ready or glyphosate resistant. So it's a really interesting business model. You sell the pesticide, and then you sell the seeds, which you own patents on, and farmers can't just simply take the seeds and raise more crops in perpetuity. That would be not a good business model, because it'd be a one-off. They just buy the seeds and then they have the seed bank of their own. You become dependent on the companies that make the seeds, and also the glyphosate, which is kind of hand in glove with the right seeds. So
well,
it's a very interesting business model.
Well, another problem here, Ron, is that one of the main arguments that the chemical companies use initially is that farmers that use glyphosate would end up needing to use less over time.
Yep.
But now the bugs are becoming resistant to glyphosate. Yep. And so now they're addicted not only to seeds, but addicted to buying more and more glyphosate every year.
Right. Yeah, there's glyphosate resistance emerging, and that's something that should have been foreseen, because, you know, that's the way of nature is.
Yeah.
Antibiotics, we're becoming resistant to antibiotics. There are weird fungi, which are populating our intensive care units that we've never seen before, that are resistant to all of antifungal medication. So, I mean, it's not nice to mess with Mother Nature, is the bottom line. So, other potential effects of the glyphosate, and, you know, this is really in your wheelhouse because you've done a lot of work on the microbiome. What are your concerns about glyphosate? Because it's a weed killer. Could it have adverse effects on the microbiome of the soil, but also of the human GI tract?
It absolutely does, and it's an open and shut case. We know how glyphosate works. It prevents the production of key amino acids, and when those amino acids are blocked, the bacteria in the soil die. So this is the soil effect. But when humans ingest it, these amino acids are also blocked, and these are things like tryptophan and what's some of the other ones here? Serotonin, and these are the amino acids, the amino acids I'm talking about. I pull a blank here for a second. The amino acids, they're aromatic amino acids that are precursors for your key neurotransmitters.
Like that.
That's
yeah.
it, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
And so tyrosine, phenylalanine, mm-hmm. tryptophan.
Yep.
And so you can't make your major neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine and norepinephrine, mm-hmm. and then people have depression problems, and we mm-hmm. wonder why there's such an epidemic of depression. So it's all tied in, and it's a really serious problem, and it continues to get worse.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. When I talk about detoxification, I say you have two basic concepts: avoid the bad stuff and enhance the good stuff.
Yes.
We can be careful consumers. We can avoid harmful chemicals in our cosmetics, in our soaps, in our, you know, room deodorizers, we can avoid harmful chemicals in our food to some extent because, you know, you can read labels, but it's ubiquitous. It's going to be everywhere. They say that, you know, if you assay the breast milk or the urine or blood of virtually any American, you're going to see traces of some pretty scary substances. So then we really need to be talking about the second strategy, which is to optimize our detoxification pathways so that our bodies can better cope with the onslaught of these chemicals, right?
Exactly. And I've been preaching this for over a decade. People need to learn how to boost their immune system naturally. And so antioxidants are critical. Vitamin C, vitamin E, beta carotene, lipoic acid, and the big one is glutathione. This is mm-hmm. called the master antioxidant. And so it's a big story in being able to understand what glutathione is and how we can self-regulate it.
We keep coming back to glutathione. So there's a lot of controversy about glutathione as a supplement, you know, whether it can be absorbed, is taken orally. And then people come up with different forms of glutathione, the liposomal forms and so on and so on. Or people talk about precursors, you know, using N-acetylcysteine. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of ways to skin the cat when it comes to boosting your glutathione levels. What are some of the ones that you find useful?
Well, the precursors are effective. N-acetylcysteine, selenium, the herb melchthal is effective, lipoic acid. So they do help your body produce glutathione. And intravenous glutathione is very effective, mm-hmm. but it only lasts for a couple of days. It's expensive. You got to get back in the doctor's office every 2 or 3 days, so it's not practical. But now we've got a strain of bacteria that's been discovered that actually synthesizes glutathione. And so you can take this orally, and the bacteria begin to produce it in the human gut. And human clinical trials show remarkable increases in glutathione levels. In one clinical trial, 49% increase in the ratio between the active glutathione to the oxidized or inactive form.
You know, I think people don't realize that the bacteria in our guts make useful compounds for us. Short-chain fatty acids, for example, are very useful for the intestinal tract, for the body in general. Also, certain vitamins are synthesized by our gut bacteria. Vitamin K, for example, is actually a known phenomenon that folks in hospitals get too many antibiotics. In the intensive care unit, for example, they start bleeding, and then it's found that they have vitamin K deficiencies. Why? Because mm-hmm. we've killed their vitamin K in their gastrointestinal tracts, or the microbes that produce the vitamin K or synthesize it. But is it common for microbes to produce glutathione, or is this a very kind of designer microbe?
Now, this is a designer one, Dr. Hoffman. It's not common for glutathione to be produced by bacteria, and this strain, Lactobacillus fermentum ME3, is the only strain that's so far been discovered to produce significant amounts of glutathione. But what you're referring to in general, the compounds that the bacteria produce in the body, we refer to those as postbiotic metabolites. And last year I created a presentation called Postbiotic Metabolites, the New Frontier in Microbiome Science, and got me invited to speak at a lot of medical and microbiome conferences.
That's a really catchy term, you know, because we know we talk about prebiotics that feed the bacteria. We talk about probiotics that promote, you know, good flora. Yeah. But postbiotics, that's actually a term really that resonates, because it takes it to a different level. It suggests that you don't necessarily have to even implant the bacteria in the intestinal tract for you to get useful compounds synthesized.
Exactly right. And what we're really learning is that these compounds that the bacteria produce, these postbiotic metabolites, are the master health regulating compounds for the entire body. They influence every single organ system, especially your brain and your immune system. So it's not so much the bacteria, but it's the compounds that they produce that regulate our health.
Mm-hmm. You know, a recent critique of, you know, they're always pushing back on supplements, as you know, it's a constant drumbeat, you know, supplements are worthless, they don't make a difference. There was one study that demonstrated that a fair number of people who take probiotics, if you culture their stool, you don't find the probiotics. In other words, the probiotics don't take in effect.
Right.
And so that was, but the researchers themselves, and they were honest researchers, they said, we don't really know what this means. This may not mean that the probiotics are useless. There may be some benefits, but we find that in certain individuals, there's just no colonization of the gastrointestinal tract. Interesting fact. They let it, you know, they just let it stand. They let it for other people to interpret the study as saying that probiotics are worthless.
Well, that's true. But one thing I think that is happening is that those bacteria that people take in commercial probiotic products, those bacteria don't stay in your body very long. They don't implant permanently, but they do have a beneficial effect in producing compounds that help your own innate microbiome, your own innate probiotic bacteria, begin to proliferate. It supports the microbiome ecosystem, so your own bacteria can start to grow more effectively. And then the other topic is that instead of just taking a product that contains probiotic bacteria, there's now products that are actually produced in a fermentation process where the bacteria are producing these postbiotic metabolites, so that you ingest the postbiotic metabolites, which immediately begin to transform the microbiome ecosystem much faster than just taking probiotic bacteria themselves.
And what types of products emphasize the postbiotic effect?
Well, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, and I'm the scientific director for Essential Formulas that markets that nationwide, and Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are produced in a multi-year fermentation process, and the bacteria are provided organically grown fruits and vegetables and mushrooms and seaweeds, and in 3 to 5 years, these bacteria are breaking down all those foods and producing this multitude of postbiotic metabolites.
So you're swallowing sort of a secret sauce that includes some living bacteria, plenty of them, should they be able to colonize your gastrointestinal tract, but there's also kind of a matrix of whatever they've been producing in that fermentation process literally for years that may be beneficial compounds, right?
Exactly. And Dr. O'Hara's now is documented to contain over 526 of these different postbiotic metabolites, and some of them have anti-inflammatory activity, antifungal, antibacterial activity. They rebalance the acid-base level. They stimulate the production of healthy new endothelial cells, and does it really fast.
Yeah. And, you know, it's actually kind of goes back to the traditional use of fermented foods, because fermented foods, they didn't seek to isolate the microbes, the bacteria that created the fermentation. They gave the bacteria in the context of whatever, natto or miso,
kimchi,
you know, these live cultures that had healthful effects beyond simply providing the bacteria. I mean, it's great that they provide the bacteria, but I think we have to, you know, you've been really great as an educator, opening our lens to better understand the functional nature of probiotic products that include postbiotics as well as prebiotics, because, you know, you need the prebiotics to help feed the bacteria as well.
And that's a really important point. I harp on this continually. It's not enough to just take probiotics. If you don't feed them well, they will not thrive and survive. And the food that they require are fiber-rich foods in a fruit and vegetable-based diet. Yeah. And so there's millions of people taking probiotics that are not consuming a fiber-rich diet, and they're getting minimal benefit from their probiotics.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because there are several lines of scientific evidence that support that. There's some studies that look at fiber as a healthful thing. Mm-hmm. We know that people who consume lots of fruits and vegetables, they're healthier. They have less cancer. They live longer. They have less cardiovascular disease. So then they gave people an artificial fiber. I guess they gave them like, Metamucil or something like that. It had absolutely no effect on mortality, on any disease parameters. So it has to be this rich mix of natural fibers and also of polyphenols. You know, polyphenols are thought to act directly on cells, but actually they act as prebiotics.
Yes. And so I call the fiber gap our number one nutritional deficiency in our culture. And some people push back and say, well, fiber is not really a nutrient. It's a nutrient for 100 trillion bacteria that are residing in your gastrointestinal system. So that's the really critical issue here. And it's not just the quantity of fiber. You have to consume a diversity of different types of fiber in order to develop a diverse microbiome. Different types of bacteria require different types of fiber. So it's not just taking a lot of Metamucil or a lot of fructooligosaccharides. You got to eat a lot of different types of multicolored fruits and vegetables, get different fibers to have a healthy microbiome.
And does the microbiome play a role in detoxification? Does it help the body? Obviously through, defecation, we get rid of waste. But is there, are there metabolic effects of certain bacterial balances or imbalances when it comes to detox pathways?
Absolutely. Different strains of bacteria have different roles in detoxification, but a diverse microbiome plays a big role in detoxification. So that's another critical point in how to be healthy over long term. Get that microbiome and learn how to maintain a healthy microbiome for the lifetime.
Indeed. So, all right. Well, we've introduced our audience to a couple of measures by which they can promote detoxification. I want to continue in part two. Let's also give the audience some information, because Dr. Heer's probiotic is ubiquitous. You can get it virtually anywhere. It's in most retail stores. There was a little bit of a lag on availability of ME3. I mean, it's kind of a unique product, but it's now available. And we want to give people a bit of a heads up on that. RegActive Immune and Vitality and RegActive Detox and Liver Health are available online and soon to be available in a natural products retailer near you, if not already.
Yes.
But they've established a 800 number, because if you have a challenge finding RegActive, please call toll-free. Write this number down. It's 800-430-6180. That's 800-430-6180, and you can follow Essential Formulas on Facebook at RegActive. So there's the heads up on that product. But what's the deal on production? It's surging back in production.
Yes, it's back in production. It was really I guess I'd call it a champagne problem. Sales were so successful that they ran out faster than they had anticipated, but they're gearing up to handle it for the future, for sure.
Okay, well, that's good news. Okay, it's a toxic world out there, and Ross Pelton's with us today to provide us with some tips on how we can minimize our exposure to toxins and facilitate our body's own remarkable detoxification pathways. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.